Hello and welcome to a new episode of Foodocracy for Her. I am Kalyan Karmakar, and Foodocracy for Her is India's longest running podcast on featuring women in the food business. And today I'm going to interview someone and present to you someone whom I thought I would interview right in the beginning when I started the series in 2020. But she's a bit elusive because you will normally find her only in her kitchen or exploring her produce. And I'm talking of Sanjana Patel, Chef Sanjana Patel of La Foy. And I've been a big fan of her work. And we used to hang out a lot in her cafe when it was in Bandra, La Foy Bandra, been consumers of her products and everything. And perhaps it's good that we took a delay of 2 years before we actually started talking, because she's got some things which are pretty new for us, so we can find that out. So just hold on for a bit, and I'm going to get Sanjana to you in a second or so. So there she is, Sanjana Patel, and in the kitchen, I'm told that no one is allowed to call anyone chef, so it's on first name terms. So good to see you, Sanjana.
Hi, Kalyan. Thank you for having me on board today. I'm pretty excited about this session with you.
No, it's my pleasure.
Also, by the way, nobody knows. It's like Kalyan for me has been one of my favorite customers and the most critical customers that I've ever come across, which has been an amazing journey, even sharing my thought process with him. So yeah.
Yeah, I must say that both Kenas and me, wife and I, we are like big fans of your products, your cafe, and of course, like now to have you and Patesh as a friends. And it's pouring today. It's been absolutely pouring. And I was thinking that wouldn't it be nice to sort of go over to La Folly and have some hot chocolate over there, because one of the few places which can match up to the hot chocolates we've had in Italy or Angelina. But of course, the Bandra one is shut. First question, is it La Folly or Foy?
Yeah.
Folly.
La Folly.
So the L is to be pronounced. So the L is to be pronounced.
Yes.
And what does it mean?
It means madness, or it means it's more of a feeling, like an emotional madness.
Exuberance? Exuberance sort of thing?
Yeah. So it's like if you see something very beautiful, or something that is, somebody's done something really crazy, like an art on a plate. You say c'est la folie, c'est la magnifique.
So it's
something which is really like, out of the world. So it's like a feeling, to be part of an emotion. Yes.
I mean, since we're talking French and hot chocolate, Kainaz and I were in Paris and then Berlin recently. I don't know if this sort of falls into the feeding of La Folie, like you were saying. I mean, the phrase. But I think on the Paris, we were there for about 5 days, Ken also 3 days, and me for two earlier. And the idea was just to chill and then go to Berlin, because we've been to Paris in 16 and explored it quite a bit. So on the second last day, we took our books and we went to the Tulip Garden, Jardin Tuileries or whatever.
Yeah, Jardin.
My French is this thing. So, we were at this hotel very close to the Champs-Élysées.
It's opposite Le Maurice and Angelina.
Which one? The garden,
Yeah,
but our hotel was near the Arc de Triomphe and the Champs-Élysées and all that.
Nice.
Then I said, I'm doing these casual lives and I can't pronounce it. So I started calling it Champa Gali. And now everyone in India who follows me, or any Indian across the world, is calling Champs-Élysées Champa Gali. So it's, I was also reading sacred games. And so anyway, we went to the Tuileries garden and Kenaz and I, and we took out our books and then we just sat there in a corner and we were reading, under the trees and the benches for just about an hour, everything set aside. And then, we went to Angelina and there was a longish queue, but the queue was moving fast, unlike in La Tourie.
Yeah.
And we went in, and now, unlike in 16 with, my blood sugar hike and everything post-COVID. By the way, yesterday, my doctor said, I don't need to take medicines anymore for now. I've managed to reverse it. So that's
nice.
So I said that, it's about a hot chocolate. Maybe we'll try something else. I don't know how this is diabetes friendly, but I ordered a quiche Lorraine and it was just fabulous. It was fabulous. and in Paris and Berlin, ever since I left home, anytime salads would be put in front of me, I would eat every salad leaf because there was no other, you know, or fiber or whatever. So, and then he said, "Choro, like, let's have the hot chocolate." And, you know, she poured it out. And that feeling was, it was like, I don't know if it was like grand or, you know, this thing, but that entire day was so different.
It's like a ceremony. It's like a ceremony.
Yeah. And I'm saying the entire day, you know, just going to the garden and sitting and reading and going in and stuff. So guess what? While I can't have a hot chocolate today, you've launched this now.
Oh, you
so, yeah. This. So thank you. Kakao Origins Chocolate Thins. And I was going to do an unboxing and I got it very ceremonially and this, that. But I took a quick power nap before our podcast, by which time a little mouse at home, which is my wife, had already unboxed it. I don't know what she'd be, which one she's had because, she, you know, she's a chocolate monster. So there's 65% from Peru, 70% from Madagascar, and 72% from Idukki Hills in India.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to have, not necessarily because I'm just a Swarajist, but also, like, you know, at this stage, like, higher the number, the better. In fact, I've been earlier having your silk fruit one, and I remember the, you know, the cookies were so cool. And of course, in you know, places like Lindt, Sprungli Cafe, and so on, they give a little tins to have with your espresso.
Yes.
So,
So when you have it,
this looks so beautiful.
So when you have it, just feel the texture. Feel the ridges. Take a little snap and just put it in your mouth and let it just melt.
Snap as in snap it. Snap of myself?
No, snap of the product. Of the chocolate.
That's the Instagrammer in me.
So it has a good snap and just let it melt on your palate. You can even put the whole piece, but just let it melt in your palate. Do not, and just close your eyes and do not think about anything. Just relax yourself.
That's a perfect job brief for me. But
that's just let the flavor notes open up. That's it.
And
just go with the feeling. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is It's so beautiful. It's not the sort of chocolate which I associate with Indian cocoa, because most of the ones which I've had tend to be a bit on the bitter side or a bit, you know, rustic or a bit of this thing. But, you know, it's had this slight floral, I don't know if that's a floral note, but a little bit of a tanginess to it and a little bit of, you know, it's light and just melts in. And it was out of the fridge for a bit. For about 20 minutes
that's
while I took my nap, so it's got that little bit of a thing. So
that's okay. That's good.
Chocolate dog. So you know, I should give a fingerprint. So you know, guys, from now on, what I'm going to do is I've done all the talking. Now let Sanjana do the hard work, because she's done the hard work and come up with this chocolate. So I'm going to have this. But so Sanjana, you know, it's stormy today, and your career, your life has also been a bit tumultuous and stormy at times.
Yeah.
And from what I remember, right from the start, when you decided to, you know, be a chef, and you know, when did the training, if I remember right, like, it took you a bit of time to convince everyone. So
yes.
How was it? And you know, because people see you and they say that, okay, there's this person we want to be. But it wasn't easy, right, at the beginning?
No, it wasn't easy. I mean, I always knew I wanted to shape my career.
I'm sorry, but I'm just being a...
Now you're tempting me. I need to grab some chocolate myself, so...
I know the people at La Folly, they can get you some.
No, but... it seems like I've done a lot, and it seems like it's been quite a journey. We've been running La Folly from 9 years right now, so almost gonna get into our decade ceremony soon. But I think more importantly for me, I think it's been an amazing journey, and it's been a bittersweet journey. And I think that's what chocolate is all about, right? Experiences are all about. Everything cannot be up in life. There has to be some failures, and you work from failures. So I think for me, it was the hardest experience of my life, or I would say to curve myself back into my calling, which was chocolate. I had just returned freshly from France, and I had no understanding about the market in India. I didn't know how things work. Let me even put it this way: I didn't even know how kitchens operate. I had a very
What's your family background? What's your family background? Are you guys into business or confectionery?
Yeah, so my mom's a homemaker. My nanny was the sidekick entrepreneur gig in food in her days, but everything out of home. She had moved after the separation from Lahore to India, and at that point of time she opened up a business of pickles and gardening and doing whatever it is that she could do from her garden. So she's got into that, and she was the first one who actually taught me the love of food, you know, the whole concept of how her relationship with food was. And I think that's what kicked into me. And I think that there's a cake that we used to have at Lahore, the grandma's carrot patch. And it's technically dedicated to her. And it was her recipe of the cake that she taught me. At that time, she used to do everything in a cooker. And she used to talk about one pot meals and, you know, be absolutely eccentric with the flavor pairings and stuff like that. So a lot of her actually rubbed onto me. And she kept evolving with the way her relationship with food as well. And whatever she just told me, like, follow your heart. That's all. That was her main thing in life, that whatever you do, you need to be happy and follow your heart. My father is not from this. He's a garment exporter and had one or two farms in Tirupur, and came up and down. So I never saw much of my parents, my dad, when I was younger. I was also studying in a boarding school. My 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th was in a boarding school. So I had a little bit of independence and everything coming to me very, very soon in my life. And then post that, I was abroad. But when I came back to India, things were really different. Like I would say Mumbai. I wouldn't say India, but Mumbai. I'd gone quite a long time away from the country for education or whatever. But Mumbai for me, suddenly looking changed, you know, things, people were, you know, when I say in a good way, like people were opening up to new experiences. And I think that was my only way. I thought that, okay, let me put my best foot forward. And we opened up a small patisserie in Kalagora, where we were just doing very basic, you know, French style entremets with a little bit of interpretation. There was nothing classic per se about it as such. It was more of a, you know, what as a creator's way of looking and interpreting French pastry. So we really started with that. And
we've been there. Kainaz and I have been there. We didn't know you then, but we were in Fort and we went there and found it out and tried some desserts there.
I think at that point of time, you know, the ideas and the goals were really passion driven. As other than that, you know, it was more like menu driven, season driven, you know, whatever I felt like making, I used to put it out there.
And what was your training? You trained?
So I've done my food science and management. I do have an MSc in marketing as well. Wow. Along with which, of course, I'm also a chef because I've done my master's in patisserie arts and chocolaterie. So in my food science and management, my majors was chocolate technology.
Okay, so you were pretty clear that at least at that point that's your interest in chocolate.
I knew as a kid I love chocolate. I was always
everyone chocolate. Loves chocolate as a kid. Yeah, but not everyone makes it.
Yeah,
even I love chocolate.
No, but I had a, you know, we had a quite of a rebellious relationship because I was always denied chocolate as a kid because I have bronchitis as a person, and it always interfered with my health, and I'm still allergic to cocoa, just letting everybody know. I still start sniffing, but there's some fatal attraction with me and chocolate that always got me to it.
Yeah,
and
literally a kambaktish sort of thing.
And I think I did my first small stint in Ooty when I was still in school for a 1 week thing at Mohan's chocolate store, and you know, we used to make very basic stuff like almond rocks, you know, it was very typical traditional chocolate drops that we're so used to. And, you know, I think the mood was great. It was nice and, you know, breezy and cool weather. And I think that's what makes chocolate tasting so much more amazing, because it's not so hot and you are really enjoying the flavor of chocolate with the ambience of the environment. I think that's what really got me into it. I mean, I never knew I would really get into becoming some sort of an entrepreneur or starting something of my own. It just came to me. It was nothing planned. So like I said, I came down to India and we started Patisserie. I think the major thing that happened with La Folie was, especially La Folie, was that it achieved success way too early and way too fast. Almost making us, you know, feel like, oh, you know, we've reached some pinnacle, and you know, we are some amazing guys, you know, who have made it in this Indian, you know, hospitality scene. You know. So, you know, we. Like I said, like, you know, we achieved quite a bit, and you know, we were really you know, very excited about our whole growth thing. And I think that was a time when Parthish also, my husband, you know, who's of course managing the business side of things, he joined in. And you know, he said that, you know, let's look into this a little bit more holistically. And we told ourselves that, you know, okay, yes, I'm good in pastry. Yes, I have not tried experimenting with sourdough breads, and I know how to make sourdough breads, because I mean, as a person, I've studied quite a bit, and not only that, I've also had the experience of making things and working with you know, different bakers and patisseries or hotels. But so we started with this whole concept of La Folie Lab, and it really came from the idea of, you know, being experimental and, you know, using fresh produce, fresh quality, you know, focusing on the food, the concept of, you know, fresh food. And I think that's when we realized that we were not cut out for it. I think after doing 5 years of La Folie Lab, we
I'm just going to interject over here. Let me give the story from the other side, and as a customer, like you said. So La Folie Lab was primarily, I think, in Bandra, right? I mean, the Bandra outlet. So one of the first interactions with them, we went and we had this, you know, dark chocolate pastry, which was like really good. And then Kenna's my wife, I think, checked with the guys and said that, can we do it as a 1/2 kilo and 1 kilo or something like that as a cake for my birthday? And they said, of course, and they did it. And I really loved it. And I think later also, once again, on my birthday, she did that. And then, you know, we saw that you guys opened the cafe. So we'd go there.
Yes.
And then the, you know, the breads. And that was the first time when I was trying to relook at the way I was eating. And I would call it little Jack Horner meals then. And till then, I would like, you know, look down on any bread which is not, any bread of color, let's say, anything which is not white and soft. So sourdough, and I've heard so much. And I tried some sourdough in, you know, some international brands which had come in earlier, and they were like horrible. And this was so lovely that I just took to it. And, you know, it became our daily bread at home. Yeah. And then we would love hanging out in the cafe. And that little vibe and the food, like especially the cheese chili toast, and there was that little French playfulness to it, because you know, every time we'd order it, there would be something different to it. I don't know if it was out of intent, but it was not a standardized thing. So, you know, you'd put out a picture, then someone would go and say, you know, we ate it and it's very good, but ours looked like this. So then we said, but we sort of now redefined the way we like hours. Then we go in the evening, and it's something where everyone would we'd go with our friends, sometimes friends from out of town. We would go with our respective moms, my mom, my mom-in-law, this thing. So elder folks, and everyone would be at ease. We've taken at least two friends who were recovering from life-threatening, you know, one from cancer, one from a bypass, and we took them there for their first meal post-recovery. You know, and then I know that you guys were looking at a new place, and then the pandemic happened, and then you guys decided that, okay, let's wait a bit. And you know, soon, just after that, it was our friend Manisha's birthday, my doctor, and it was like complete lockdown, and we wanted to send something good to her and a cake, and I can't bake. So I reached out to you, and you guys are one of the few people who are open and from whom we could still order sourdoughs and chocolate cookies and the brownie sort of thing, you know, the dark chocolate. And in those dark days, I think those are the only pleasures which we had. And I reached out to you, and on the day of the birthday, then you said, hey, you know what, we're not doing a cake, but I'll make one for you. So I think you took four brownies, and then you put some cookies on it and some golden thing and whatever. And then went and sent it to Manisha's house, and she was like surprised and so happy, and especially in that time, and we were so happy. And that was the one time when you didn't let me pay, and you said that no, this is like in these times, if you can spread some happiness. And I was thinking that these guys, their business entirely depends on this, and they're saying that no. So the long story short, I would have thought that you guys were doing like really well, and then we were waiting for you to open, and here you were saying that you were not doing well.
I think it was quite a more than not doing well. I think definitely financially we were fine with the lab situation and everything. But I feel like we knew that we were facing competition, you know, through more, you know, cut copy kind of pasted, you know, models of cafe operations. And whereas with Love for the Lab, what we were really trying to achieve is, you know, whatever failures and experiments that we used to do through food, literally used to go on our menu. and the chili cheese egg, it literally came out of that, you know, where, you know, it was a place where chefs could have fun and come up with
Then there was the croissant, croque monsieur croissant. One had never come across a croque monsieur croissant till very recently when I went to Paris. I went to one place which reminded me a lot of the La Folie Lab, because just outside my hotel, there was a bakery, and they said you can go there for breakfast.
Was it the French Bastards?
No, it was not the French Bastards. French Bastards was a bakery a bit away. And I happened to meet this girl from Calcutta who was interning in Paris, and she told me about it. I wanted to get croissants for Kainaz. But they run out of it. So the next day when we met Shishti, then she got it for us. But then the bakery, which was just outside our hotel, looked like even worse than, you know, the old school Bombay bakery. So suddenly I saw this, I smelt the coffee literally, and turned around, and I saw there was this place which had written Inform Cafe. And it was very different from a Parisian cafe. So it was like La Folie, except the colors were different. It was white and this thing's a small place. There were 2-3 people in the counter, one lady and 2 guys. And they were making Hokkaido buns and everything inside, and getting out stuff. And you know, coffees like potatoes, this, that. And that became my base. And the reason why I suddenly brought this up and interrupted you is that they had excellent croissants, and that's the only thing they sourced from a owner's friend. Right. They couldn't make it in such a small place. Like the Hokkaido buns and sourdough and everything, they made themselves. So they offered an egg benedict in a croissant. So I'd never come across a ham, the croque monsieur in a croissant, which I came across in yours. And then, these guys did a benedict in croissant. Yeah. So or is it not croissant? Sorry, it's croissant, right?
Croissant.
I mean, that's what I learned from Shishti.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So why were you talking about this? Yeah, you were saying that they were cut copy models and you were very hands-on.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, that's the thing, guys. I mean, I got to know Sanjana and Patish simply because sometimes they happen to be there and, you know, they might be taking the order or something, and we would just generally get chatting because, like I said in the intro, you will not see much of Sanjana. In fact, I went to her page right now before the interview to see, let me get some questions and look prepared. It was the same stuff which is there in the La Folie page, which is, you know, which is a brand. Yeah. So it's a bit of a woman of mystery, but mainly because she's either behind the kitchen or in the market or in the field. You felt that, you were not getting your own space over there and identity.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, I felt I was not getting my own identity, you know, because we really struggle with, you know, then we started talking internally, discussing what is it that the consumers like. And then it started becoming about, oh, this cafe is doing this menu and that cafe is doing that menu. Let's take inspiration from them and let's try to work on it. And that's not what we do at La Folie. We don't like taking inspiration from what other people are doing. We have been experimental buggers, I would say. And most of the time, experimental
bastards
coming out. And things coming out of, you know, failures. And I take this way back to how my nani was in the kitchen. And I think the idea of also the croque monsieur croissant, the way it came across, it was that we knew that we were making sourdough breads, but a normal croque monsieur, it actually comes onto, you know, a normal slice of bread. And we were against the idea of using any sort of white maida or white flour in our breads. And at that point of time, there was no understanding of even what sourdough breads was in our country.
I had no understanding. I liked it. Yeah. And then I asked you also a few times when we met. Yeah. And now I finally just know that, you know, sourdough is good for your gut, tastes good, but that's it. Sanjana has explained 2-3 times, you know, the chemistry and everything.
Yeah.
But obviously,
we were using cultures. I think my friend who used to work at Poilin, it's another bakery in UK and in France, a French bakery. But she had gifted me a little bit of a sourdough starter before I left France, and I kept refreshing it, you know, in India. And I'm like, one day I'm gonna have, you know, my own sourdough bakery, and we literally started from there. And honestly speaking, half of the people don't even know that we are making breads. I think for us, the biggest challenge at La Folly has been that we have a very inclusive way of doing marketing. It's been word of mouth. It's been people like you who have been our real customers, you know, who have shared that real joy about our products. We've really never gone out there and spoken so much about, you know, what we do. And I mean, it's not been that crazy social media marketing or digital marketing. And we also saw how times were changing. And, you know, I think with more concepts coming in the whole food space, you know, the developments with, you know, in the whole culinary scene, I felt like, you know, as an entrepreneur, or rather as a person who's running something like this, if I can't deliver my best foot forward, I should now tell myself and retract back rather than, you know, suffering later. And Parthish and we had nights, you know, talking about what are we doing and how are we going forward? What is the actual philosophy of La Folly? How do we keep coming back to this, back to the fact that, you know, who we are, you know, we are always involved in our own mad world of, you know, what we do. And suddenly, you know, we're getting tarnished by what is happening around us. So we're not able to put our best foot forward.
Yeah,
so
yeah, to be a bit swayed or affected.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I've gone through that myself. In my field. So I know exactly what you mean. But the stakes are high for you because you're running a business. Yeah. People's livelihoods depend on you and investment and all that. So I know exactly what you mean.
So we actually got a new place in Bandra just as soon as our lease got over in February of 2020. And we paid the deposit for a space in Bandra and for a space in Juhu for a larger capacity space. And then the lockdown happened and we told ourselves, you know what, let's just get out of it for the moment and let's just take a step back. We will see if we need to come back to it in the future. But that was literally the whole side of the business and what was happening with La Folly. Whereas my personal journey was very different. I felt like La Folly started defining who I was rather than, you know, the other way around. And I wasn't feeling comfortable with the decisions that we had taken to grow the brand, trying to be too fast spread out, too into too many pockets, you know, not trying to, you know, really master something and have some sort of a focus.
And it was a collective decision. It's not that you had an outside partner or a stake. So it's it was a democratic. So you're saying that you did some things with full confidence and this thing, and then maybe like thought in retrospect, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. That's interesting.
So I would say I think end of 2017 I told myself, you know, that I am not enjoying my time doing what I'm doing. I think I'm getting carried forward. Things are, you know, I feel like I'm doing catch up rather than trying to be ahead of it. And I had to really sit with myself. And more than anything else, I have a few close friends who are now become close friends, you know, who I took counseling with and said that, you know, what is it that I like doing? And they all view me as this one chocolate baby, you know, since they know me since kid, you know. She's like, Sanjana, why are you moving into 20 things when you're so good at this one thing? I'm like, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, because when I opened Love Folly, everything was, even my desserts were around chocolate. Even my cookies were around chocolate. Everything had chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. That's sea salt and, cookie. And those are our favorite gifts to give to people. Yeah. And our friends love them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, and so you much. Always want to do this and what? But they never knew that the way I want to do it. For me, chocolate has to be from the root because it's also, it's an agriculture product. It's an ingredient. And I was not satisfied with just buying chocolate and, you know, utilizing it. And this is something which I really learned in my last 3 months with Alan Lucas at the Dorchester, where we were coming up with a project for their own bean to bar chocolate factory, known as the Chocolaté. I don't know if you went this time. I think it's in the 19th around this month, something like that.
We didn't step out of Champagali this time.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Now they've got 2-3.
We just needed a break this time, so we were just
So we had our executive pastry chef then, and he was going to be heading that project. And he was actually a pastry chef, but his love was also chocolate. He knew that I used to love chocolate because that's what I was doing at Alain Ducasse, and I kept, you know, talking to myself about, you know, flavors and pairings and those kind of things, you know, why. And then I think at that point of time, the conversation happened with him, and I asked him, like, why you guys are making your own chocolate? And you guys are like, you know, so good at what you all do with service and, you know, plated food and, you know, concepts like this. He's like, no, I mean, Chef Alain Ducasse has asked me to head this project just because he knows I love chocolate. And I think this is his way of telling me that, you know, I should do something what I'm great at. And we were making these kind of molds, and, you know, we were experimenting with mold designs and how chocolate should break on a palette. And we were working.
When was this? This is before you'd moved into India?
This was like a good, I would say 2011, 2012.
Okay. It didn't happen before.
I didn't even know back then how this was influencing me, to be honest. But I was just intrigued with the way this guy was just talking and having a conversation and about his travels and about the fact that how he used to go to farms and working with smaller cooperatives, and he used to talk about the politics of, you know, the whole thing in the chocolate scene and how it works. And it somehow left like a little bit of a lasting mark on me. And then I broke my foot in 2018.
I know you've broken your foot very recently. Of course, you've had COVID. You've had a lot of health issues which you've also battled with at personal level.
I broke my foot, and at the same time, I was going through the thyroid cancer thing that I had. It was I did my biopsy and my PET scan. I didn't know what was going on initially, but it was happening very simultaneously. And then I completely stopped working for a good 8 months. I took a time off, took myself back, and I said, okay, I need to dial back and tell myself what is it that is going on. I didn't even go to lab. I think that was a time when, you know, I told Hemal, please manage this baby and take care of it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we would wonder,
And, you know, it was a very hush-hush thing because I multiple things at multiple levels had struck me. Then I had to tell myself, okay, how am I going to get out? But at that point of time, I did a lot of journaling. I started writing. I started, talking to myself about, you know, what my goals in life were or what I'm passionate about. And for me, I've always seen my life through this field. People who know me also, you know, more from a personal level, they know that this is what I live and breathe. So I don't have much to contribute in any other topic. So it kind of makes me like a little bit of a boring person. But
chocolate bore is the best kind of bore.
So I started reaching out to certain cooperatives internationally. We didn't have a very good system developed in India then. There were certain projects happening on an industrial chocolate making level. So it was always a very difficult situation to get to know these people and to do my travels and all of that. the moment I got onto the crutches, I said, I told Parthish, look, we both are going down south in Central America. We're taking a trip down. Okay, I don't know. Yeah, I can't get anything done via Zoom and, you know, via a Google Meet or whatever. We need to go. So are you sure you're going to be able to travel 36 hours? And we had a flight to Guatemala City. So we had to change two stops.
Yeah, yeah. South America is like really far.
Yeah. So we went to New York, Miami, Miami, Guatemala City. And
all self-funded, yeah, because it's your own money. I mean, it's not that you work for someone or, you know, you have a sponsor.
We have been very happy and very blessed that whatever concepts at La Folly we've done has been out of our revenues and has not been funded or anything like this, because I think that's what I feel very proud.
Okay, sorry, just one second. Is it bad manners that if I have a chocolate while you're talking?
No. In fact, I want to have one too.
Okay, go ahead. Let's see. Yeah. So this time I'll go for the Madagascar. Sambirano.
And it would end with a pill. Sambirano Valley. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you received the postcards with this.
No, I did. I did, because like I was going to get them here. But like I said, the unboxing happened by my wife while I was taking a nap. I'm going to discuss this later with her. But I will go to the postcards, because I didn't want to like open the box before that. Like, yeah. So feel the texture. It almost feels like, you know, scent of a woman. And it cuts so cleanly.
Yeah.
Mm. Go ahead. Oh, you're all three.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. Sorry. I'm thinking about the chocolate and how it's melting down. But yeah. So I think
it's so smooth. And what I like is that I mean the Indian one and the Madagascar one, like, you know, they match up to.
Yeah. And they're very one is, of course, the 70% taste more darker than the 72. It's also the kind of bean.
Yeah, it's more robust. It's more solid. I don't know how much difference the 2% makes.
Yeah.
But it's definitely like that one had a slight tanginess to it. Yeah. You know, years back, I was part of the jury of the International Chocolate Awards and I was hugging the chocolate at that time.
Oh, nice.
In London, I was there.
Yeah, I see it. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. In London, I was there with scoring all the chocolates and stuff like that.
Nice. But, so you should know about all this. Yeah.
No, at that time, I knew nothing, but I remember all those things which you had to, you know, breakability and this, that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
So I think
it was very much for what I understood was that, you know, okay, I need, this is a journey that I need to start, and no sense of me sitting in Mumbai, you know, cooped up and, you know, telling myself, oh, now what I'm going to do, I'm not enjoying what I'm doing. I have to travel, I have to explore, and it literally started with an exploratory research about what is happening around cacao. You know, across South America, Central America, be it even Africa, and of course, India. Traveling to these places, it made me realize what we have back home. And we have some really good quality cacao. But at the same time, I think the way it has been developed over there, and I'm telling you, the farms are a lot more backward than what we have here. But the way it's been developed over there, the way it's been developed over here, and like the Mayan culture, and all, you know, the way they do ceremonies around chocolate, I think they really respect chocolate, and like more than anything else, you respect the cacao. It's a fruit at the end of the day.
So this is not like they're doing it for show. They it's really, they believe it. I mean, it's like, say, the way the Japanese sort of respect their, you know, tools and implements in the kitchen.
Yes. Yeah. They really respect. They really
It's not that they're doing it for you or for Discovery Channel or something.
Okay. I mean, we're talking about biodiverse and organic produce and all right now. But
anyway,
I mean,
guys, by the way, this is, sorry, I'm not. being paid to do this, but you know, once you take this in, it just stays in your mouth, and this is exactly the way Kenna's like to have her chocolate. So
yes,
you know, she prefers just dark, at the most with nuts, if at all.
Yes,
like not alcohol or fruits or anything like that.
Yeah,
and she'll put one in her mouth, and then she just lets it dissolve. Normally, like a barbarian, I keep eating. But that's because earlier I was more a milk chocolate guy, and you can, you know.
Right. We all start our journey with milk chocolate.
But this just, you know, it just kept, I was listening to you and it was just, you know, melting in. And it. So you're talking about, you know, the respect which they have. And, Yeah.
So I think they had a very good system, you know, of, you know, I wouldn't say system, but I think it was just that they respected the whole ceremonial process around cacao. Oh. I remember the first time we went to this region by the name of Alta Verapaz. It's deep in the forest areas of Guatemala, not the Guatemala city. And we went to this one cooperative farm, which was, you know, it was some of people who were coming together. This was known as the La Chua. We had to pass a river on, you know, these, you know, like how kayaks and canoes are like very thin boat and whatever. And we had to literally go via the forest to reach their farm. And they don't have any farm land as such. It's just cacao growing in the wild. You enter the cooperative, the first thing they give you is this half-cut cocoa pod, which has their version of a hot chocolate. And their version of a hot chocolate is just steeped cacao beans in water. That's it. With a little bit of like their spice and all of that. And that is what you're tasting. And that is what is hot chocolate. And I asked them, is this like cultured? Like, this is their definition of, you know, chocolate. And our definition of chocolate in our country is Cadbury's, you know, like.
Of course, yes.
If you ask a farmer, it's a Cadbury tree. This is not a cacao tree. It's a Cadbury tree.
Yeah.
So that is the differences. And I think what was very interesting for me is to start directly interacting with, you know, the farmers, you know, listening to them, understanding what they're doing. There were a lot of apprehensions. We weren't sure whether we were ever going to buy from them, but it was more importantly, how we build a relationship over time.
Wasn't it tough? Because first of all, you're a city girl. Yeah. You had a broken leg.
Yes, I was on a crutch.
You were on a crutch. Yeah. You were battling your thyroid cancer thing.
Yes.
The language is not the same. No. So how did you connect? Is there a secret language of chocolate or a secret language of cacao, which you don't know of? It's very Harry Potter-ish.
I feel very thankful and grateful to have met Uncommon Cacao. There is this lady by the name of Emily, who runs cacao fermentary and post-harvesting process in Belize, Guatemala, and a little bit in Peru. And what she does is her whole idea is to get smaller farms together and assist them with how post-harvesting needs to be done for a chocolate maker.
Wow.
So I think she knew languages, and it was me. It was a Dandelion chocolate company. There were a couple of people from there. There were a couple of other chocolate makers, Cyrene from Canada, another very good chocolate maker. So we all had gone as a group, but nobody had ever even understood that. When we told them we've come from India, they didn't even understand what that was. Like, literally, it was that backward. And they were like, we traveled 36 hours to see your farm and to see what you guys are doing. They were shocked. I think that just moved them away. I mean, even for Emily, like Sanjana, there's nobody who's ever come from India. I don't even know whether you guys even eat that kind of chocolate and, you know, do that. I'm like, yeah, but here I am, and I'm trying to just explore this field. I'm not committing and doing anything at this point in time. Mm-hmm. With that, I think we went to, you know, we did a couple of, with that, we took some samples back. We then started talking more openly about what we want to do. And I told Parthish that, hey, you know, like, I need to start a pet project on this side. I need to have something that inspires me to get back. Otherwise, I was all ready to, you know, literally stop myself in this career. I was just wanted to get out of La Folie completely and tell myself, hey, I'm, you know, I'll do something else, or I'll go back to France, or I'll go pick up another job and, you know, be happy. But I needed something that inspired me, and what was more important was what motivated my value system. You know, be it, you know, working and thinking about sustainability, or working directly with the farmers in the field of cacao, or, you know, and then also training a consumer or educating a consumer about what is really good quality chocolate. So I think all those little things came in, and also more importantly, not becoming too industrial and trying to still remain artisanal and small batch. So all those kind of values then started coming in and ideating. And then I think that's the time we met Saurabh. I don't know if you know about Saurabh Mishra. I think it was either you introduced me to him or somebody else did. But But he's a branding guy, and at least
maybe he'd got in touch with me when he was doing some research with customers on La Folie.
So I think at that point of time, this was 2020. The pandemic had already hit. We were, and he asked, he literally asked Parthesh and me, what is it that you guys want to do? You know, what is your real vision? And Parthesh was like, I think we've done so much of mess in the past. I think it's just better that we go back to our roots and what Sanjana wants to really do. And and I think that's when we started like breaking down philosophies, concepts. And this came literally from a corporate level backwards into our, into the way we work. I think like how Japanese have a way, the way to work. I think we started developing that concept. We pissed off a lot of people on the way. We stopped buying, industrial chocolate from a lot of people, like Valhornas and Calibus and all of that. We pissed off a lot of suppliers. We pissed off a lot of customers because they started seeing a lot of changes in our product because we started backward integrating. We started making our chocolate and going backwards in our pastries. And if anything and everything that we did was through our chocolate. But I think what was making me sleep and what really healed me was that I was happy and content at the end of the night. And, I was at peace with myself. That we had
and started. what a lovely partnership because between you and Parthesh in terms of you are the vision board.
I don't have words to express that I think he's been an absolute support in my life. I mean I just don't have any words to
express. We know each other since
24 years.
Wow.
We've been married since 15 years. We know each other since 24. He's seen me grow, he's seen me evolve. He knows my weak points. He knows all my, whatever. I think that's what.
Does he voice them? Does he voice them? If he knows your weak points, does he voice them?
He has his own subtle way. We are both very subtle with the way we express.
Yeah, because it's okay to voice them as a business partner, but as a husband without being sexist, you need to be a bit brave to voice them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he was, during the pandemic in the house, he definitely voiced it. Don't worry. I know you have a lot on your hand. I'll manage this, but no, he voices it, definitely does.
And what's lovely is to see how involved he is in it, though he's not from it, if you get what I mean. I mean, he's not really a pastry or a chocolate person, but yet, like with the passion with which, he steps up and starts describing if one is with him and this thing is like,
And, he keeps telling me, in fact, he used to keep telling me, I can sell anything. But today, if you ask him the same question, I would rather not sell anything but sell this. So I think we've made that, he's also made that transition in his...
But that's great. I mean, and people age and mature over 24 hours, years. I mean, not just cacao beans. So then what? Just tell me a bit, I mean these chocolates... was sort of from before that, right? Because I mean, these chocolates I was already seeing in the lab.
Yeah, in the market.
I mean, I don't know whether it's this particular one, but in general,
those were not bean to bar.
Because this is bean to bar. Small batch, finest origin.
Yes. I think the journey today is that, we are truly trying to be, more hyper-local. We are working up with more farmers nationally. We started working with a cooperative by the name of Co-Ground, from which you have just had the square piece, Idukki Hills and Malabar Forest. They are an Italian couple.
Is that I saw on your Instagram story, Kakoj journey?
Yeah.
And where you went to this farm and with this Subu.
Yeah. So that was one of the farmers that we went to, Murakase in Kerala. But that was up in the Idukki Hills. And I think I was documenting, because this is the season, that's when I tried to travel to the farms between May and November.
I mean, you were literally
meeting farmers.
You were literally like a kid in a candy store, except it's a candy store, it was a cacao.
So if you see me there, that's me. That's who I am. If anybody who has seen my energy levels in the farm are very different. I'm like in my space. But I think the fact that I'm following my heart has also kept me healthy. Of course, you know, I'm now doing natural therapy. It's really helping my body. I had COVID twice. I'm out of it. You know, I'm twice out of a lot of the bad that has happened, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years. I felt it was a phase, you know. I truly felt in my inner being that, you know, there was something that I was contrasting towards, or something that I was, not working out for me. And I think now it could be called universe or whatever. But today I'm in a much better position. I think whoever meets me also tells me that, you know, you're looking a lot more healthy and all. So yeah, that's true. But more than that, I'm very happy with what we are doing. So
wow, I mean, that's so wonderful, because like I said in the beginning that I wanted to interview right in the beginning, this is two years back. But perhaps it's lovely that we are talking now when you've sort of reached this stage. Yeah. And it's also like, I think it's interesting to learn from you that for someone who's so involved in something, how do you let go of certain things? Because like when I look at the packaging of the box, everything and all that, I mean, obviously there is professional input, which is great. I mean, So have you got people on board, or do you work with different partners, or how does this happen? Yeah.
So we ideally work with partners. I wouldn't say it's all about, you know, what I'm doing. We have Malika Chandra, who's been with the brand from the last 2.5 years. She was this one girl who just randomly came in. She loves the brand. She was a consumer. Yeah. And she started sharing her experiences with us. And she's into graphic designing and product designing and all of that. Mm. Today, she's become a sustainable farmer. And she's assisting her boyfriend to redevelop the Gir Forest project.
Oh, wow.
So she's completely out of this now. But she only assists me in developing this. And she also
and you spoke of all these things way before it became fashionable. I remember once Candace and I were there, and you and Partish had just come back from the south, and you were, you know, explaining to us what all you saw and stuff. I mean, way before it became fashionable, you know, sustainability, local, and whatever.
I think it's very important as a brand ethos or whatever, that you need to live your values, or you need to really inculcate them in your DNA from a very holistic manner, not just talk about it and make it, you know, a very PR stint or related kind of a thing, you know, because I think that's great to do. But sustainability is a process. Being ethical is a process. Being environmental friendly is a process. You cannot become any of it overnight. Mm. Similarly, the way our farms are in India, you know, it's very difficult, even from a farm level, for a farm to call itself 100% organic, indigenous, or, you know, heirloom crops or biodiverse, because it's a process. And I think today, like, for example, like Malika, we really inspire and kick off with each other, because we have a very different way of talking, and our language is very different. We're always talking about, you know, what is happening with the crops. Like, I think she's working on a project with Totapuri mangoes, and she wanted to revive the whole area, whole thing of Totapuri mangoes. And she developed a system of, drying it naturally and even getting it to the consumers. I mean, that whole farmland that she's working on, she's literally, today if you ask her, what are you doing? Oh, I'm seeing a tiger. And it's just, you know, literally she's living on the farm. Like, you, it's crazy. Like, that's one girl. She's so dynamic and so young. This, we have a couple of other people, you know, who are working with us. A copywriter.
You're calling others dynamic and young, but you're hardly a grandma yourself. I mean, there are people that sort of tend to forget with young achievers like you.
Let me put it this way. I like working with people young, much more younger than me. Especially when, when they think out of the box more than anything else. But I love taking advice from people who are more senior than me. So that's where I am in the middle. But I think we've got a very diverse way of working also. At Laugh-Holy, and I think that's really been great. But this product that we've been making is from, I wouldn't say it's a product, it's an experience. We've been focusing on it from the last couple of years, I would say a good 4 years. We literally got these beans, I think, before the pandemic. We aged them. We wanted to have that right moment to actually introduce the concept of single origin in the market. We tried doing that through our bars in the first phase when we launched our bean-to-bar bars. Just the India origin, for example. I think you have one of the limited edition ones. You won't find it now in the market.
Okay.
But anyway.
Yeah, no, this has been in the fridge for a while. I opened it recently and started eating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Nice. Yeah. So I wonder how that would taste though, because I don't have any stock left of this.
Okay, we can trade.
I don't know how it would be.
Because I told Kenaz that this is, this is one of the few chocolates which I can have and I'm enjoying, which is 70% plus or whatever. So yeah. You don't touch this. So yeah, no, that's quite a bit. We can sort of set up a date and, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Relax, smell, taste, indulge.
Yeah.
Well, I like the packaging and everything, but international class stuff. Because it's also an expensive proposition when you get into ethical local farming and all of that.
Yeah.
So then the product and packaging and everything has to sort of match up with that. So do you and feel that there's a consumer for this sort of product? Because it's also a bit of a risk because you're pushing yourself into a big niche. So
I think
does it worry you?
It definitely worries me. I think we have become a lot more niche than we were when we started. I think we kind of expanded our horizons with La Folie Lab because we introduced multiple other things in the equation. But today, I think we become so funneled and focused way of thinking process, and we call ourselves to be the chocolate forward brand. And our positioning is becoming more and more that, because everything we try, I think we're the very few brands in the country that would not just talk about the philosophy of bean to bar, because that's anyway a process which is lived by any chocolate company. Even the Cadbury does bean to bar. So it's just a process. But it's how it's done. What is the difference between craft chocolate? Like you said initially, that when you taste certain chocolates, you're talking about the cocoa mass content being 40% when it's really dark chocolate.
Yeah.
We are telling the consumer ourselves that if you're reading 72%, it is 72% of cocoa mass in it. And the balance is sugars. We're not even telling and claiming ourselves to be a healthy.
It's written cane sugar. It's in cane sugar in the box.
Yeah.
So you've not just left it at 70% this thing, but you put it over there, the cocoa butter, unrefined cane.
Yeah.
And not in fine print. It's just two lines. So it's staring at you.
Yeah.
It's staring at you, not like 32%, 11%, 22%. By the time you say, hey, chodo yaar, give me the chocolate. it's just two lines and you're just putting it
We have multiple brands who are like coming in and, they're trying to be, either sugar-free or this or that. We are saying that this is an experience of chocolate. If you are a connoisseur or you love chocolate, even if you're trying to grow in this,
I like the thin format.
Not trying to claim.
I like the thin format. Because you can have small bits and little dinger.
Yes.
And also unlike the lint thin and all that, you kept in mind the Indian environment.
Yes.
Because the humidity. So you put them in individual packs.
Yes.
The traditional lint thin, which you've seen, the orange and all that. But it becomes like one block because it's not meant for indie. Yeah.
The idea was to just make a 5 gram experience in your mouth.
And it because actually lasts.
And
the fact is that if it's a bar, then you say, okay, what the hell? Let me just take one more and do one more.
Yeah.
You're cognizant of the fact that you have gone into a niche. It perhaps worries you, but it also makes you happy. So that's great.
Yeah.
Another thing which I wanted to ask you, once or twice you've spoken to me about this in the cafe, and you referred to it also that there's so much happening in the food business and there's so much food media and there's mass influencer award this that whatever and you're not really present there and does that bother you? Is that a conscious decision? Would you wish you were present?
I don't think
is it a process you've you know, made your peace with?
Honestly speaking, I've never thought about this. So I don't know. I think I have to ask myself, or rather I ask myself, if I'm happy doing what I'm doing, and as long as I'm happy, it's making me feel content and well, healthy, and I'm progressing daily, that's more than enough a reward for me. Wow. And if anything else that happens, it happens. Now, there could have been days and there could have been moments earlier on, maybe earlier in my career, where, like I told you, success came to us very easily. We started getting awards, we started getting, and suddenly, you know, we were like all over the place with certain things.
You took part in competitions internationally and won.
Yes, yes. I did my fair bit. Yeah, I did my fair bit. And I told, I mean, you know, if today also, if I have to do that, what I did, like, you know, 8 or 9 years ago, I don't think I would be able to do it. I don't think I tell myself this also, that, you know, if I have to work as a line cook in the kitchen 12 hours a day, I don't think I will be able to put that same level of stamina in doing that. And I will never be able to be better off than a person who's continuously using his or her muscle memory. So I think there's a time for everything in your life. Yes. And if appreciation comes directly, I think that's fantastic that appreciation comes. I think that's how I even take my approach in social media.
There's no envy or there's no, like, you know, what are these people doing? I mean, why are they doing that? Shouldn't they be doing this? Or you're just more on, like, you and your world.
I'm more in my own world. Yes, I'm a little bit of I'm on another page.
A daydreamer. But you have a good partnership. So you've got Parthesh, I've got Kanas to sort of make sure that we don't completely take off.
But no, I don't think ever any sort of envy has set in or anything. I think everybody's at their own level. And I think what is important here is that if more people are doing it, the community is going to grow. We are going to be known better from an India point of view on the world map when it comes to our culinary scene or our ethos and whatever. And I think there are a lot of dynamic chefs now, you know, who are trying to make that change and that make the difference. And I think we are all have this one goal and focus is to, you know, bring our scene, culinary scene on the world. And what we also have, you know, we've got a very strong heritage. And I think if you see it from that point of view, it's amazing. I think everybody now is trying to become an entrepreneur. And I think I keep the younger generation who's working with me now, my kitchen team is getting younger and younger.
Yeah.
With more different, you know, with wanting to work lesser amount of time, but wanting to start something of their own faster. And I keep telling them that, you know, find your niche, focus on, you know, what is it that you really want to do? Give some time to get experience before you start. So that would be my just one base message to, you know, to a younger chef out there or whoever might see this interview. But no, there's been no such envy as that. I think people know me to be a taskmaster in the kitchen when I'm in the robe of my chef coat, and they also know me as a completely opposite personality when I'm outside, because it's just two different worlds. I think for me the biggest challenge with La Folly has been maintaining consistency, and I know how consistency can badly get messed up, especially when you're growing, and with the whole process of craft chocolate making, you're working with different harvest cycles at the farms, with different beans, different times of the year. You want to be able to deliver that same consistent experience. Otherwise, you're always going to have mixed opinions coming in. So yeah, this is really it. But you're not the first one who's telling me that I'm not that social. I think I should be probably. I think
I'm sure everyone says that about me. I'm pretty happy to be here, at home with my cats. And thanks to lockdown, my wife and my...
Oh, yeah. I have two dogs. I'm getting a second dog right now. Wow. I think if I could cherish any time, I would just have to be. Yeah. I think they've got so much of calm and peace to the house. It's been amazing.
That's funny. Yeah. It's been such a pleasure sort of talking to you today, because at a personal level, there were some things I knew about your struggle, but I think that you know, what you've gone through and what you've learned out of it, you know, getting to know that was very inspiring, because at a personal level, I could relate to many of the questions you've had.
Yeah.
And I think I got some of my answers over there. The fact is that, you know, it's also a brand which, you know, one can be very proud of, because, you know, when one has had your sourdoughs and croissants in the past, you know,
And they're still there. They're still there to be enjoyed. So, you know.
Yes. So, you know, when one has had them in the past, or even sometimes you order even now from the Bandra, you know, the delivery point, is that, you know, when I've gone abroad, I have not felt the urge to sort of stock up on croissants or breads and stuff.
Thank you so much.
We get some good stuff. And frankly, like, I mean, I'm not saying this because you're a friend or because your agent has sent me these, which is a happy coincidence because I wanted to, you know, this thing. But the fact of the matter is that this is really great, because, you know, when I was tasting them, you know, the Indian one, the Madagascar, maybe I should end with the Peru. If Ria's not watching my doctor, it's 52%. But it's also very tiny. So I'll just give her and you know.
And the Peru will just remind you of your childhood memory.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, when I was having them and I was seeing the packaging and everything, I'm just thinking that why, I mean, the next time when we go to Europe, I'm just going to tell Canas that can we just avoid going to the Bruges or, you know, those other chocolate shops where she's going and picking up stuff and they're saying, well, we'll just, you know, we'll say there's this.
Maybe when you go next time to France, you should come with me.
Yeah, that too. But we also now have a reason for a date, because I'm going to come over.
I definitely want to taste that.
So I'll come over and my price for this is going to have the good old chili cheese toast and the croque monsieur. I will do that.
I'll have to run into Hemal and call her Hemal. Tell Hemal, please come and make your chili cheese toast. It was her recipe,
though. So. I know, but she spoke so highly of you, and the fact is that you said you're a taskmaster in the kitchen, but everyone, you know, you could make out that it was a happy working place, whether it was the you know, the boys at the counter or everyone. But absolute pleasure talking to you, Sanjana.
Thank you.
Two years too late, but I think just in time. And
this was amazing.
Absolutely. So, you know, things are meant to be.
And I would love to, like, you know, talk to you and ponder over certain thoughts.
We will mutually sort of do that as two people who sort of fly off and they team. And you've at least done more stuff than I do, but and a lot more. But absolute pleasure. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
All the best. And such a lovely field, which is chocolate. And you know, the way you're approaching it in terms of you know, the ethicality of it, the bean to bar sustainability, and you know, making India without making a big noise about it. So wish you all the very best.
Yeah.
And maybe, who knows, one day some Bandra outpost might happen. But till then, I'll sort of take this and reach your...
But I think for people who might be watching, if you guys ever grab yourselves a box of these Cacao Origins, I think it's for me.
No, and also there is a QR code or something, right? If you do this, then you get to see Sanjana popping up
No, popping up. It's just a sound file.
Ah, so the podcast.
It's only a sound file. It's a podcast.
Wow. Yeah.
You already have the product in front of you. It was about a feeling.
Yeah. No. But it's great because we'd gone to the house of friends from Mumbai who now live in Berlin, and they were saying that how when you go to the supermarkets and all that over there, through QR codes you can trace back to the farm and the process and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm great that I'm so happy that you're bringing these on. Yeah. So thanks a lot. And Sanjana, where all can people order, you know, the Lafali chocolate?
This is at the moment on the website exclusively.
And do you shop? Do you ship across India?
Ship it, all India.
So we go to the Lafali website and we can
place
an order and ship all across.
Yes, and it's not available. It's actually an exclusive line, so we've not tried to make ourselves available everywhere. We also have a limited quantity of the beans, so we're trying to, you know, use as much of this through our website. So I would really urge everybody to please order on the website directly.
Order on
with
the
us.
Website, laughalvi.in.
Yes.
And in case like me, you were wondering for the last 9 years, but was too embarrassed to ask, it's La Folly with L, like in London. So
yes,
on that note,
absolutely.
Thanks a ton. It was
Thank
lovely,
you,
lovely talking to you.
Thank
bye.
You.
Bye.
Take care. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.